I love the song choice this morning, especially the first two songs, because that just helped prepare a platform for what I want to preach today. So let's start. Of course, our key text, John 10:10. The thief comes only to seek, to steal, to seek, and to destroy. Pointers that we, that Jesus came to give us abundant life. And some says to have it more abundantly, to live it more abundantly, but we want to have abundant life. So I want us to have a quick look at where we've been, because this is a whole body of truth that I'm trying to give to us, or we as a team are trying to give to us. That gives you a little bit of indication of the roadmap, the abundant life journey of where we've been and what we've done, and through the different series and the flag points along the road, and helping us to understand what this abundant life is. If you missed some of this stuff, I encourage you, go online and pick up what you've missed. And part of this is having a look of where we've been, is to help us. If we wanted to grow and to mature and to live, or actual fact, let's go one step, and be the abundant life. Not just talk about it, not just think of it, but let's be the abundant life. There's another area that will leave you flat-footed if you don't deal with it. It'll stop you from moving forward. And that is if we lose our dreams and our aspirations that God has placed in them. I know we all have dreams. If you don't have a dream, put your hand up. See, I know I'm talking to the right people. We need to understand that sometimes we lose our dreams, or we miss them, or we feel a failure, or we feel, I'm not doing this right, so therefore. I mean, I know when we first came to Canada, we had huge dreams of what we were going to do. And as they just weren't fulfilled, then Bridget said, what are we going to do with that dream? I said, babes, it's not for now. We're going to parcel up and we're going to put it on the shelf. And when the Lord says so and He releases us, we're going to take that dream down and we're going to live in it and fully. So today, I want to preach on restoring our hope in your dreams, or restoring hope in your dreams. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Without revelation of God's word is what that's really saying, where people will abandon themselves to continue living in their sin. And I want to say today, if we don't look after our dreams, if we don't nurture our dreams, if we don't step into our dreams, it will take us back to where we just were before. We'll see that a little bit later. And without our dreams for God's future, we will abandon these life-giving motivations and not fulfill God's call on our lives. We'll settle for second best. Who wants to settle for second best? Jeremiah 29:10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so what happened was the Israelites had gone, Judah actually, were in disobedience and had become captives. And they were told that when you get to this place that you're captives in, by the way, it's going to last 70 years, but I want you to live here and build houses and get jobs and create and be a blessing to this place. And when that time is fulfilled, I'm going to come and I'm going to restore to you. I'm going to give you back the dreams that we have for you. So sometimes God, you might go, yeah, but this dream I've had is, I've been waiting for a long time. Not for 70 years you haven't. God is out of time and space. And sometimes we thwart our own dreams. Holy Spirit speaks. Holy Spirit gives a God downloads. And I mean, when we talk about dreams, I'm not talking about what you dream at night. And there's some good dreams. There's some soulless dreams. There's what I call pizza dreams. You know, prophetic dreams, and these dreams where God warns you, when God speaks, those aren't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fulfillment and dreams of aspiration that God wants to bring into our lives. And sometimes when our dreams have taken a bit of beating, or you feel, this is not working for me, Lord, He will remind you it's not about you. So the first thing I want to talk about is broken dreams bring barrenness of soul. Number one, when we have a barrenness of soul, when we don't live, this is like a downward cycle. There we go. We lack generosity. And I'm not talking about just finances. I'm talking about we lack generosity of heart. We lack generosity of soul. We're not generous with ourselves and our time and our resources. It should be in every aspect of serving out of duty. We are no longer motivated by passion. We feel an inner reluctance or resistance to serve, but continue to do so because we think, well, that's just what's expected of me. It's called a bad attitude. And everybody around you can sniff it and smell it because you come in and like, I'm just so happy to praise the Lord. Well, someone should tell your face. That's why I love this. Here to worship. As long as I'm breathing, I will worship you. I didn't look and see. I cannot understand in songs like that how you can just sit and watch the screen. Where is that worship in you? Where is that focus on Jesus? Anyway, we serve out of sense of duty. Number three, our faith is no longer contagious. We've lost something. We're spiritually dry. It affects our relationship with those who do not know Jesus, because that should be part and parcel of us helping people understand who Jesus is just by our lives, by being the abundant livers, if you want to put that way. We're not bubbling over. We've lost the way. We're not like, I mean, I've read articles over there and I'm going, oh, have these people lost their minds? Famous worship leaders now saying that they've lost their passion and there isn't really a God around. I'm like, dude, if that's the way you feel, just keep quiet. You've been leading people into worship, telling how great God is, how Jesus is, how amazing he is. And now you're saying, for the last 20 years of my life, I've been lying. Just be quiet. And of course, then someone else has got to get on and write the other article about how they've lost their mind. And then I've got to write another article saying, well, I really messed up. I didn't really mean that. Perhaps sometimes we don't see something in us that causes them to thirst after God. Everywhere we go, every day people should go, there's something different about that person. Causes them to thirst after God, to see more, for them to feel a desire to know what we know. Number four, God feels distant. Yeah, hot tip, God never moved. When God seems distant, he never moved. Where we are spiritually dry, there is no gradualing distancing from God. Either we are encountering him regularly or we're not. And coming to church on Sunday is just one small piece of that fraction of encountering. We should be encountering God every day in our lives wherever we are. We call it devotions and prayer and worship time. Read the Bible. Pray every day. You will grow. If you grew up in Sunday school in my age, you'll know what I just said. We want to speak to us, hear him speak to us intentionally. I remember when I first recommitted my life to the Lord, I would be asleep at night and I would hear this voice, Mark, Mark. And it wasn't a dog barking, Mark, at 3 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes I would just go, oh man, what the heck is that? And other times I'd get up and I'd say, this is like Samuel and Eli. And then 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd go to our study and I'd spend time with the Lord and he was calling me. Don't ignore his voice when he calls. Listen. Pay attention. Where do we go to? Number five, spiritual life is in a rut. We lack the excitement we once had in our relationship with God. Our devotional life, our connection, our lifeline to God. Stick your finger in the socket and get a perm. You know, stick your finger into the socket of God and get ignited for him. We need a connection through his word and through prayer. And we reduce that and it's becoming to a rote exercise. Or maybe it's ceased completely. And you think, well, I'll just get to church on Sunday and get my spiritual groove on. I don't feel like going to church or coming to church. I don't feel like being with people. Hear me say this clearly so that no one says, what did he just mean? When you feel like that, just remember one thing. It's got nothing to do about your feelings. Overcome your feelings. We started this morning, when we started the service, with an encouragement to us. Be bold and be courageous. Be bold and courageous. Get up out of bed. For the guys, if you don't shave, that's okay. Ladies, if you don't put makeup on, that's okay. Come and rub shoulders with the family of God. Number six, trial causes doubts to increase. When things come against us, when we, not even crisis, just trials. I mean, how'd you like to be living in Halifax today? Early this morning, I was on to Halifax, on to Dan. Hey, guys, how's it going? So, well, we've got no power, but, everything is good. The family's safe. We're dry, nothing. Ken, what's going on? If you follow him on Facebook, you'll see he had his camp fire thing out this morning. He's grilling bacon outside on his porch. Man, nothing's letting him. He's a tree came down in his yard. I'll clean it up later. I'm going to make bacon and eggs for breakfast. Different attitude. We don't want to see that. You know, can you imagine if we can't go through some little trial when a major upheaval comes? You're going to run for God. Oh, God, help me. I've been calling you, my son. I've been calling you, my daughter. Number seven, lapse into negative thinking. We are filter, our dreams become, the filter becomes so scratched that we've lost the dream, we've lost hope altogether. Yeah, when I've got to say this carefully. When Bridget and I first came here, after a while, we thought we were so excited, we were like two little Energizer bunnies off the plane. And then when things weren't working out the way I thought they should work out, I was like, Lord, why are we doing this? I've told you before, we go down to the lake, we put worship music on. These grown-up people would sit and cry. God, why did you bring us here? We will go for the sake of the cross. We will go for the sake of the lost. That's why we came. And then everyone has told us, because now we're learning to inculcate into Canadian culture. And everyone told us, don't say this, don't do that, don't go here, don't do that, don't say that, don't do that, don't do that. And eventually we're like, Lord, you spent 50 years in South Africa training me to be somebody, and now I get here and you don't want me to be that body. And then we went to an equip time. And Tyrone stood up and he said, there's some people here who feel that the culture has shrunk you. And my heart broke and I just started to weep and to weep and to weep. There's nothing wrong with the culture. Please don't. That's what I'm saying. I need to say this carefully so people understand me in my heart. And I realized that we had listened to the naysayers. Don't say this, don't do that. When God is saying, no, do this. That's why we brought you. Do you think that he wanted us? And of course, anybody wanting to come and plant and lead and be part of Canada, just like any else in the world, needs to learn to inculcate into the culture. It's not come here and be South African. I'm always going to be South African. I am now a Canadian citizen and I'm inculcated and I understand the culture. But there's certain things that you just don't give up because people say, don't do this, don't say that, don't do this. Lord, what are you saying? And so, we don't get yourselves into a lapse into negative thinking. Anyway, good news. Help is on its way. His name is Jesus. He wants to reach out today to you and touch that dream of yours that is wasting away and bring resurrection hope to it. Psalm 126:1. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, and that's not money, it's people, by the way, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. The story is that the Israelites, as you know, had been plundered and they were in captivity. And now Zerubbabel and Ezra had heard the Lord and the Lord said, take, go. And this is the scripturally, theologically, the post-exilic period. And they were taking the exiles back into a land to give them their land. And they were on their way. And this is Psalm 126, is a psalm of ascents, which they would sing on their way to Jerusalem to fulfill the feasts as they were good. It's coupled with Psalm 137, which was made famous by Boney M. And what they're saying, when we were restored to our land, when our dreams came true again, we were so ecstatically happy that our jaws dropped down and we sat there, we were dreaming and we were so excited that we couldn't help but a whoop coming from our voices and our hearts. And we were excited. Amen. And when he called each one of you and gave you dreams in your hearts, he knew we would also mess up. But he'd not forget. Sorry, that dream's not for you. You messed up. No, sorry. You can't have that dream. No, that's the enemy talking to you. We've got to learn discernment when the God talks. So number two, point two, we want to dream with Peter. Dreaming with Peter, the one in the Bible. Can you imagine the dreams that Peter had? I'm a fisherman, I'm fishing, and one day this guy walks up and says, come with me, give up your company, give up your business, give up what you're doing, and walk with me, and I will make you fishers of men. Peter went, and you know, Peter was the impulsive one. And then we get into the garden, and then Judas is going to betray him. Peter, like, don't worry, Jesus, I got this. No, Peter, calm down, bud. And he takes Peter and takes the ear and puts it back on the soldier's head. So there you go, Peter. You're all good. And then he says, just don't worry. Jesus, I'm with you. I'm your man. Luke 22:33. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said to him, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times. No, not me, Lord. Prison and death. I mean, nothing in between. Jesus, I'm prison and death. I'm going with you. I'm going to do this together with you. We're going to save the world. I'll go anywhere with you. This is a big dream. Man, I've stunk a fish every day for so many years, and now fishes are men. We're dreaming, Lord. Luke 22:61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Dreams dashed. All that big dream, bravado, dashed. The Greek word there, wept bitterly, is pikros, which means lamentation, meant hard crying. We would say ugly crying, you know, that, ugly crying, wailing aloud, to violently wail, sharp and piercing. They could hear him down the corridors in the little streets in Bethlehem. Peter's heart was so broken when he heard these words that he went out and he wept and he cried because all his existence, all his dreams had ended. He thought, for sure, Jesus is going to leave me now and punish me. Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes when things don't go well with us, we ugly cry. When things aren't working out the way we think it should. When our dreams appear thwarted, or they're dying or dead, there's an inner heart wail that can be heard in the courtrooms of heaven. God is watching. God is listening. John 21:3. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Then they said to him, we'll go with you. You're still a leader, but we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I'm like, what? After he cried his eyes out, you can see his eyes were red. My dreams are finished. I'm going fishing. Okay, let's go back to what we know how to do. Let's go back to what we know what to do. This whole dream that we had with this guy, Jesus, this has failed. My dreams have failed. The big dream is gone. My hopes are shattered. And we go back into our little comfort zone, our little shell, where we don't want to step out the boat, where we don't want to be bold and courageous. Interestingly, they gave up on the big dream of being fishers of men, went back to do what they knew to do, and caught nothing. I don't know if you see the correlation. I'm going, what? Yeah, the big fishermen go back and they caught nothing. And then Jesus, the carpenter, sitting on the beach grilling fish says, children, did you catch anything? He knows who they are. I think there's something in there when he says to them, children, do you have any fish? And Jesus still cares about their dreams. He still cares about your aspirations. He still do because he called you and he gave you those dreams. But sometimes we just have to learn to wait a little bit and step into what he has for us. And then he sends Peter a personal invitation through an angelic messenger. And I'm saying today God is calling you. Today God is giving you a personal invitation of your dreams and your hopes that have been dashed. And he's saying, arise and come with me today. And he's saying, Mark 16:7, if you don't believe me, he says, but go tell his disciples. Now, Peter was one of the disciples. And Peter, he mentions him by name. I want him to know that I forgive him, that his dream is still intact, that make sure he's at the meeting in the front row. It's resurrection time, time for hope and restoration of dreams to come. And that is the word for you today. And it ends off in that verse, it says, just as he told you, the dream is not dead, it's all working out, but I just can't see how that dream's going to come alive again. Don't worry, God knows. Lean on God. I know I'm sounding a little bit loud, I'm excited, I'm not shouting at you. Today, this morning, receive this personal invitation. This personal, put your name there. Tell his disciples and Chris and Susan and pick your name and say, this is for me. And then we know that how Jesus comes and he restores Peter. Simon Peter, John 21, said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Three times, goes through. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. You know I love you, Lord. You know resurrection, restoration. I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about every aspect of your life. I'm talking about your marriages, your family, your children, your careers, your jobs, your church involvement. Take a leaf out of Chris and Susan's book today. Let that dream arise. Luke 22:34. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. This was no like surprise party for Jesus. Hurtful still though, because fully God, fully man, had feelings. He knows we'll mess up, but then in verse 31, he says, when you have turned, Peter, strengthen the brothers. In Acts 2, Peter, fully restored, stands up and says, by the way, guys, let me just tell you about this man. And he delivers this amazing sermon at Pentecost. And 3,000 were added to the church that day. Restoring hope in your dreams. How do we do this? I'm so glad you asked. Number one, break the blame game syndrome. My dreams aren't being fulfilled. It's someone else's fault. We blame other people and circumstances for our dryness. It's everyone else's fault but mine. When you play the blame game, you deplete yourself. You just sink a little lower in the whole thing. Take ownership of your spiritual condition and your relationship with God. This is not my wife's fault. This is not my daughter's fault. This is not the leaders in the church's fault. This is not the church's fault. Those are the people I can blame. It's mine. I take responsibility for it. Don't break the cycle of the blame game. Number two, recognize your deepest need. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing in your descendants. According to the scripture, the answer to spiritual dryness is intimacy with God. Because that's who he is. He is our Abba Father. We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Theologically, when you get saved, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, but then there are numerous infillings of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you give, and you just need that refreshing. And some of you today need that refreshing, again, to be filled with the Holy Spirit once again. Our need is for God himself. When spirit dryness is related to Christian service or busyness, we often focus on external points that we need. I need a break. I need help. I need a change of responsibilities. Now, I'm telling you, when God gives us a dream, that's all added. That's what we sign up for. That's what He gave it for. And sometimes I know I'm not, these needs may be genuine, of course. Do you think I've never said, I need a break? I need time away. I need someone else to lead this church. Did the pastor actually say that? Yeah. Because sometimes I feel that way. Not recently. I need to reconnect with God and be refilled with His Spirit that brings life. Number three, stop procrastinating. Great service, Mark. Great word. Another day. No, I'm saying today. The Lord is inviting you by name today. This is a word from Him. This is not my cute idea. Often we'll just look beyond and say, someday or sometime else, I'll fix this. I've got so much on at the moment. You don't understand. I've got so much on at the moment. I'll get it. When I deal with this, I'll get to that. You know the problem is? We don't deal with this, so therefore we never get to that. So stop procrastinating. I'm waiting for assistance from someone else to help me. Circumstances might not change soon. We'll just keep waiting. Yeah, procrastinating is a good word. And then we just continue this dryness, this run, and this burnout. And then we blame everybody else. Take action. If you don't have a day, take an hour. If you don't have an hour, take a moment to encounter God. And I'm telling you, sometimes that's all it requires. Just encountering God. I love it when we sing together here and we just encounter God. But that's an act of my will. Don't wait for your act of your will to be dependent on somebody else. The guy next to me sang too loud. The music's too loud. Number four, reconnect with God. Jesus said in John 7:37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It's not rocket science. What will the other people think? Do you care more what other people think than what God thinks? One of the greatest examples I ever saw of that, we had a visiting preacher come in, ministering in the church. I was on the eldership team, and my pastor was there. And the guy said, listen, there's somebody, people here who are feeling dry and they're feeling like they're depressed. Will you please come up for prayer? And the first person to get up and walk forward is my pastor. I was like, what just happened here? He didn't care what everyone else thought. He had a need of God. He was thirsty. And the invitation came, and he took it, and he drank. And he was a different guy afterwards. Praise God. Psalm 42, verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God. Today is your opportunity to appear before God. Find your happy place where we can connect with God. Number five, ask God to refresh you. The best prayers are the simple ones, like, Father, fill me afresh with your Spirit today. In the book of Acts, when they were faced with persecution, when the church knew that their greatest need was not for circumstances to change, it was for a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Paul and Silas stuck in jail. And when they had heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, we give you glory and honor today, Lord. Thank you for our friends that were in jail. Thank you now that they've been released. Thank you, Lord, that you are still in control. Amen. Fill us. Give us a fresh understanding of your revelation, of your goodness and your love and your mercy towards us. And this one's for everybody. Be transparent and authentic. Amen. Sometimes I go home and I wonder, I was so transparent today. I wonder what's going to happen if they all come back again. These are great characteristic attributes, being transparent and authentic. It reach out to other. Pride, if you are 2 weeks ago, whatever, I preached on pride and what we call humility, but it's not. It's just another version of pride. Pride will hold you back. Believe it or not, you need help. Well, I'll just thank you, Pastor. I'll go home and I'll just deal with it by myself. And then we get home and we don't deal with it because we don't know how to deal with it. In God's kingdom, being transparent and authentic is not a sign of weakness, but one of strength. I can stand before you today and say, I have sheep needs. In God's kingdom, we need to learn to be transparent and authentic. You can wear your masks all you like. It's not going to help you one iota. Last scripture, Ezekiel 37:3, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover up with the skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Theologically, this is the scriptures, not what I'm talking about today, but I just, when I was preparing it, it just came to me. And so I want to read it in a different fashion this morning, not to change God's word, but to help us to understand something. So if anything I've said today, be bold and courageous. If you feel you've got dreams and aspirations that have not been fulfilled or have died, please stand up. Wherever you are, just stand up. The Lord is inviting you today, personal invitation today. And he said to me, Son of man, can these dreams live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said, prophesy over these dreams and say to them, dreams, hear the word of the Lord. These dreams, behold, I will cause breath, a resurrection to enter you, and you shall live, and I shall lay strength and power upon these dreams to be fulfilled. And Father, we come to you today, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so merciful to us, that you give us dreams, that you give us aspirations. Thank you, Lord, that you empower us. Holy Spirit, would you come right now and speak into the lives of all those that are standing, Lord God. They are being bold and brave and courageous and authentic and transparent, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come speak into my life? I'm standing with you. Father, that you would speak life into our dreams. Lord God, that we would not accept the status quo, that we would not just accept, well, that's it. Thank you, Lord God, for the dreams that you've placed in us. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for the road and the journey there. Thank you that you've called us here as a body of believers. Thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking life. You're speaking resurrection power. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us today? Would you come and change our attitudes and our heart minds? Speak life into us, the abundant life, Lord God. Lord God, that hope would be restored to us. God, you are sovereign. You are mighty God. Lord God, we choose this day. Thank you for the personal invitation. We choose this day to stand in your presence, Lord God. Say, Holy Spirit, resurrect my dreams. Bring hope to my life once more, Lord. I set aside all those other 7 or so negatives, Lord God. Father, I step into your health. I step into your life, the abundant life that you have for us, Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.